This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Business News with a highly local flair, bringing you this week's Greater Fort Wayne Business Weekly, covering trends in business innovations in Northeast Indiana, from the bigs to your favorite mom and pop entrepreneurs, right now on your audio reading service.
Welcome, this is Business News, and I'm your reader, Natalie Nelson, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from Greater Fort Wayne Business Weekly, copyright 2025 KPC Media. And now, I'll begin with Businesses, Higher Education, Government Come Together at J.A. JobSpark by Lisa Esquivel-Long, Dateline, Fort Wayne. Schools from around Northeast Indiana came together November 4th for J.A. JobSpark at Allen County War Memorial Coliseum so students could experience careers in government, public service, healthcare, industrial trades, cosmetology, and many other industries. A squirrel earned its acorns as the device was used by an Indiana-Michigan power linesman to show what happens when the pesky rodents short out a transformer that makes customers lose power. The result was a jarring boom that resounded throughout the Coliseum's Expo Center. At REMC's display, two students competed by using 15-foot insulated poles while wearing insulated gloves to touch an area on a simulated power pole, which stopped a timer. We're giving them a little bit of an experience of what it's like to be a lineman, like a storm restoration or a power outage, Chris Todd, Director of Marketing and Communications for Northeastern REMC, based in Whitley County. It gives the students an inside look and appreciation for what it's like for linemen to work on weekends and evenings when a power outage occurs. Jan Estevez, a design tech in engineering at Indiana Michigan Power, said he wanted to show students that I&M has more jobs than just linemen. When you think about a power company, you think electricity. That's all you're going to do, he said. But there's people in the background who actually have to design stuff and never ever come into contact with electricity. Estevez said he came to the company as a mechanical engineer with no degrees dealing with electricity. Whether it was games with robotic dogs singing a big ultrasound or getting their hair braided, each table had something to get students' interest sparked in a career. Bowen Health had students don dark glasses and try to negotiate a path lined with plastic cones with a walker at the Dementia Empathy obstacle course. At SDI's booth, students donned virtual reality headsets. Mostly, they're seeing our melt shop, said Rob Stever, rebar supervisor for SDI's Columbia City location. The demonstration where we take the electrical sticks and melt down the steel, 3,000 degrees. Columbia City makes flat rolled steel. A Fort Wayne-based company also makes rebar, rails, and many other products. Students got to see the softer and furrier side of some jobs. Scout, a single-purpose narcotics detection dog for the Fort Wayne Police Department, proved to be a big draw, with several students at a time surrounding the 5-year-old German short-haired pointer for pets. The police department's negotiations team, the Indiana Conservation, Indiana State Police, and Department Fort Wayne Fire Department were among the first responders at the event. Indiana sets redistricting work for December. Meet for regular session a month early. By Lisa Bonilla-Munoz, Dateline, Indianapolis. Indiana lawmakers won't meet to consider new congressional maps and tax code tweaks until the first 2 weeks of December. Legislative leaders announced Monday, ending months of speculation. They'll reconvene from December 1st through the 12th, rather than hold the special legislative session in November that Governor Mike Braun called for last week. Republican leaders indicated cost was a top factor. The state's most recent special session in 2022 lasted 2 weeks and cost taxpayers about $240,000 in per diem and travel expenses. Adjusting the 2026 legislative calendar is what makes the most sense when we consider member schedules, the logistics of legislative action, and most importantly, the cost to the taxpayer, Senate President pro tempore Roderick Bray said in a statement. Making this shift allows the legislature to consider the topics presented to us in a thoughtful way without burdening Hoosier taxpayers with the cost of a special session, he continued. House Speaker Todd Huston said the aim is to avoid any added session-related costs, adding, "We will continue to look for ways to save taxpayer dollars as we work through and finalize the schedule." They could trim days from the back half of the 2026 calendar to even out the costs. Braun shows support. Braun released a statement in support of the news. "I want to thank Senator Bray and Speaker Huston for announcing the legislature will convene on December 1st, and happy to see they have committed to complete their work on the time-sensitive issues of altering Indiana's congressional boundaries to ensure Hoosiers have fair representation in Washington and conforming Indiana's tax code to ensure stability and certainty as Hoosiers begin filing returns in January." Democratic caucus leaders condemned the move. "Let's call this what it is. A mid-decade scheme to rig the maps. And the only reason this is even on the table is because Trump's losing," and Governor Braun caved. Senate Minority Leader Shelley Yoder said, "Her caucus," she said, "will be ready with bills to make housing more affordable, lower health care costs, expand child care, and rein in utility hikes, because that's what the people of Indiana actually need." Her counterpart, House Minority Leader Phil Giacrenta, said his caucus would focus on the skyrocketing cost of living. "From health care premiums and utility bills to child care costs and property taxes, Hoosiers are struggling to stay afloat and need relief. Redrawing political maps won't solve any of these problems," Giacrenta said. "House Democrats will be offering solutions, and I look forward to hearing from State House Republicans about what their plans to make Indiana more affordable look like." The Indiana Black Legislative Caucus, composed mostly of House Democrats, rallied Monday against the prospect of redistricting. Special or not, last week, Braun summoned lawmakers into a special legislative session focused on early mid-cycle redistricting of the state's congressional districts and critical tax code updates. The state house's GOP supermajorities used 2020 census data to construct the current 7-2 maps in 2021. The lines aren't due for updates until after the 2030 census. But Indiana has come under intense pressure from President Donald Trump's administration for a redraw of the state's two blue congressional districts right ahead of the 2026 midterm elections. Braun also called on the General Assembly to patch discrepancies in Indiana's tax code stemming from big changes in Trump's marquee One Big Beautiful Bill Act. The governor's order set the session for Monday, November 3rd. Lawmakers don't have to convene the exact day that he suggested and won't. The only requirements under Indiana law are that a special session can't last for more than 30 session days or 40 calendar days. That clock begins November 3rd and ends December 13th. A different approach. But the General Assembly will answer the call differently. Lawmakers won't meet for a special session, even for a perfunctory gavel in and out. There's no statutory requirement for that, Brace spokeswoman Molly Swigart said. Instead, legislatures plan to start the regular 2026 session early. Typically, they convene for Organization Day, the ceremonial start to the regularly scheduled session, on the third Tuesday in November, and then return for business in January. This year, they'll also work the first 2 weeks of December. The meeting days in December would be part of the 2026 regular session that officially starts on Organization Day on November 18th, Houston said. Because of this calendar alignment, starting the regular session early would be the most cost-effective and efficient way to address the governor's call for a special session. More details on the November session days will be revealed in the coming weeks, he said, with a full calendar expected on Organization Day. Other groups also slammed the news. Today's announcement that lawmakers won't return until December only underscores what Hoosiers have been saying for weeks. Mid-decade redistricting is a distraction no one wants, Indiana conservation voters said. Governor Braun said this process needed to be wrapped up by late November. Now we know it won't even get started until December. Our leaders keep kicking the can down the road because they know this idea is woefully unpopular and unnecessary. Let's scrap it now. Voters say no in NACS referendum. By Lisa Esquivel Long, Dateline, Fort Wayne. A majority of those who cast votes November 4th in the Northwest Allen County Schools referendum chose not to pay more in property taxes to fund staff salaries along with educational, safety, and other areas, according to unofficial results. A total of 7,320 votes were cast, with 53.99% or 3,952 voting against the referendum. If the referendum had passed, those with a property assessed at $350,000 would have seen their tax bills increase by $505 per year. As part of its promotion for the referendum, NACS said it receives approximately $8 million less in annual funding than the state average and that it receives 54% of taxpayers' total property tax support, while the rest goes to services that include the airport, library, and Northwest Fire District. Among the items that NACS hoped to use the estimated $12 million raised was its new career and technical education and alternative education facility. Superintendent Wayne Barker issued the following statement. While we are disappointed by this outcome, we respect the decision of our voters. Throughout this process, thousands of residents asked questions, attended meetings, and sought to understand what this referendum would have funded. We appreciate the community's engagement and the support we received from families, staff, and partners in our community. Because the referendum was not approved, the district will not receive the additional operational funding needed to staff and open the new career and technical education and alternative education facility. Increased salaries that NACS said will allow it to remain competitive with neighboring districts, add school resource officers, social workers, and instructional support, expand academic and career-connected learning opportunities. Barker noted the district will review next steps in the weeks ahead. We remain committed to delivering safe, strong, student-centered schools, Barker said. In the coming months, we will evaluate our options and determine how to move forward responsibly within our existing budget. What will not change is our unwavering dedication to students, staff, and families. Despite the result, Barker expressed gratitude to the community. Northwest Allen County Schools is strong because of the people who learn and work here. We will continue to serve our community with care, integrity, and a focus on doing what is best for students. The question that voters had to decide was, shall Northwest Allen County Schools increase property taxes paid to the school corporation for no more than 8 years for the purpose of funding educational instructions and staffing at a career and technical education facility, retention and attraction of teachers, support staff, and administrators, school safety and well-being, staffing and initiatives, instructional support staffing at all buildings, and district-wide staffing by imposing a property tax rate that does not exceed 0.2787 and results in a maximum annual amount that does not exceed $12,156,914. If this operating referendum public question is approved by the voters for a median residence of $350,000, the property's annual property tax bill would increase by $505 per year. Evergreen Holiday Collective set for December 5th through 7th at Electric Works. From staff reports. Dateline, Fort Wayne. This December, Electric Works' annual Holiday Artisan Market returns as Evergreen, a curated, handcrafted collective, a 3-day showcase of regional merchants inside the historic GE Club at Electric Works. For the first time, the event will be held in a single weekend. Evergreen will feature a hand-picked selection of more than 20 artisans and makers from Northeast Indiana, offering shoppers an eclectic mix of handcrafted goods, jewelry, art, grab-and-go gifts, and more. The curated approach is designed to provide guests with a high-quality shopping experience in a festive and accessible setting. We're excited to bring Evergreen to the historic GE Club at Electric Works, said Jack Ellsworth, Special Projects Manager at Electric Works. Our goal is to activate this unique, flexible space, and Evergreen brings together some of the best artisans in the region while offering shoppers a festive way to select holiday gifts and celebrate the season. Event schedule, 5 to 9 p.m. December 5th, free admission, in conjunction with the Broadway Art District's First Fridays event with live music. 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. December 6th and 7th. Admission will be $5, free for children under 12 and seniors 65 and over. The first 300 guests will receive a free reusable Union Street Market branded tote bag, and attendees can enjoy a festive atmosphere with live holiday-themed music on Friday, plus a bar on December 5th and 6th, all in the welcoming, nostalgic setting of the GE Club. The historic building is fully accessible and located on the Electric Works campus, with multiple parking options, including street parking and up to 2 hours of free parking in the Union Parking Garage or nearby surface lots. The GE Club is located at 1020 Sweeney Avenue. For more information, go to https://fortwayne-electricworks.com/event/evergreen-a-curated-handcrafted-collective-ge-club. Completion of final phase of Bass Road project celebrated. From staff report. Dateline Fort Wayne. Allen County commissioners and contractors and workers cut the ribbon October 29th on the final phase of the Bass Road project, 1 year ahead of schedule and under budget. Commissioner Rich Beck said the Bass Road project represents decades of planning, coordination, and commitment to improving Allen County's transportation network. In 2005, the Allen County Highway Department began preparations to improve Bass Road from Scott Road to Hilligrass Road, a vital corridor identified in the Allen County 2030 Transportation Plan. Construction on Bass Road with the installation of roundabouts has been going on since 2018. Some highlights of this project include 5.4 miles of complete road reconstruction, 4 roundabouts, including the Bass-Hadley roundabout, the first in Indiana and 5th in the nation to incorporate a rail line through a roundabout. 3 bridge projects, including 2 new constructions and 1 rehabilitation over Interstate 69. The bridge over Anderson Drain is now the longest bridge in Allen County's inventory, spanning 502 feet. The Bass Road project also added a pedestrian trail for a total of 4.5 miles of new trails. With the Bass Road project, the county introduced smart technology in concrete pavements. The project earned state and national awards for excellence in concrete pavement. Commissioner Therese Brown said, "As a county, we want to extend our sincere gratitude to the residents affected by construction. We know it hasn't been easy living day to day within an active road closure and navigating the ever-changing detours and obstacles. Your patience and cooperation made this project possible. Already, the surrounding area is experiencing growth, including a new trail project along Scott Road, improving pedestrian mobility and safety, the Fort Wayne Football Club's new soccer stadium, an ice cream parlor and other small business developments, a new convenience gas station at Bass and Thomas Roads, numerous residential developments." Allen County Commissioners reopen Grable Road Bridge. From staff reports, Dateline, Leo Cedarville. The Allen County Board of Commissioners and the Allen County Highway Department, along with elected officials from Leo Cedarville, held a ribbon-cutting ceremony October 31st to officially reopen the Grable Road Bridge. There has been a bridge connecting the east and west banks of the St. Joseph River near Leo Cedarville for over 100 years as an essential route connecting communities in northeast Allen County. When the Cedarville Reservoir and Dam were constructed, the bridge was relocated to its current location. The former bridge, built in 1965, had been refurbished once since then and was showing its age. Using NDOT's 80-20 program, the county leveraged state assistance to help complete the project. The Allen County Highway Department helped the town of Leo Cedarville and coordinated the work with NDOT, Designer Engineering Resources, Inc., and contractor Miller Brothers Construction. The superstructure, or bridge deck, was completely redone. The bases of the piers were structured with riprap, and a pipe 30 feet under the bridge was lined with a product to extend its life. Allen County had to work closely with city utilities to coordinate when they could lower the water level in the Cedarville Reservoir. Commissioner Ron Turpin thanked and recognized all the residents in the area and local businesses for their patience in dealing with the detours and construction traffic. He also noted a new feature that was added to the bridge, a sidewalk, noting, "As trails, connectivity, and walkability are important features in placemaking, it was important to the county to include the sidewalk. Now individuals can safely cross the river to enjoy Riverside Gardens Park and walk or bike into town." Commissioner Rich Beck said, "I want to thank everyone for a bridge well built. We're grateful for all the hard work and innovations that went into making this important artery a structure that will stand the test of time." Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Natalie Nelson with Business News. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library.